Good morning, and great grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? That song, just like today's sermon, is all about staying faithful in our lives, no matter what we're going through. And love that song. Amen? All right, so we're in Daniel on my sermon. My sermon name is The Lion King, and you'll see why in a little while. So in verse 1, it says, "It pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps to rule throughout the whole kingdom, with three administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel." So Daniel was like a governor over the kingdom. And the satraps were made accountable to Daniel and the other administrators, so that the king would suffer no loss. So they kind of watched over the kingdom for him. And but Daniel so distinguished himself amongst the other administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities and by the way he ruled with faith and honesty, that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom, because the king wanted his whole kingdom ran like Daniel ran his part of the kingdom. So Daniel continues to honor God with his life, as he's been doing all his life. And now God was honoring Daniel again. King Darius gave thought to setting Daniel over the whole realm, the whole kingdom. And you see, Daniel was to become the second in command over the whole Medo-Persian Empire, so second only to King Darius, because of his faith and his ethical way of ruling. So the king liked the way he was, his ethics and the way he ruled. And that fact, the fact that the king was going to set him over the whole kingdom, didn't go unnoticed by Daniel's peers. So, because Daniel represented an obstacle to those who wanted to profit in the kingdom through unethical means, because Daniel was true and honest, and they didn't want Daniel to get in the way of their unethical means to make money and take over the kingdom. Amen. So, it was natural for them to hate Daniel, and for them to try and remove him from his position, especially now that the king wanted to set him over the whole realm. So, you see, as people of faith, we may be going through the same persecution in our jobs, or our social circles, or our schools, or whatever we do. People may want us out of the way of their unethical practices, whether it's at work or just anywhere, whatever you're doing. I mean, if you're the honest guy and you're getting in the way of their corrupt ways, they attack us, just like the devil attacks us. So, but we're instructed in the Bible to my favorite verse today, anyways, to seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of His righteousness, and everything else will be given unto us. So we just got to trust in the Lord and stay faithful. And God will bless us. Amen. Matthew Henry writes, "We notice to the glory of God that though Daniel was now very old, he was able for business. He was ready for business. He had continued faithful to his religion, and it is for the glory of God when those who profess religion conduct themselves so that their most watchful enemies may find no occasion for blaming them, save only in the matters of their God. So in which they walk according to their conscience." So, in other words, Matthew Henry's saying that we need to walk the walk and keep faith, keep our faith. When we witness to others, they respect us and they see the Lord in us. They know that we're faithful. They know that we're good people, and they'll take us serious when we're witnessing to them. Amen. Chapter 4, a plot against Daniel is conceived. On chapter 4, verse 4, a plot against Daniel is conceived and initiated. So, at this, the administrators and the satraps try to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of governmental affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in Daniel because he was trustworthy and he was not corrupt nor negligent. So finally, these men said, "We will never find any basis for charges against this man Daniel, unless it has something to do with the law of his God." So they knew they were never going to find anything that they could hold against Daniel to tell the king. So they decided to make something up. So they could find no corruption in him because he was always faithful. Daniel was such a faithful man that those who looked for a flaw always came up empty. So sometimes today, a candidate or a nominee for political office is set under the same kind of scrutiny. But, you know, imagine us looking as hard as we can at a public servant that's been in office for, say, 50 years and finding nothing wrong with them, you know? No fraudulent expense accounts, no intern scandals, no questionable business deals, and no gifts from lobbyists, and no accusations from the staff. So just trying to find somebody that's honest in office today is practically impossible. That'd be a dream come true, right? So what we're saying is there was no skeletons in Daniel's closet. You know, his enemies examined his life and they found nothing they could attack, so they had to make something up. And the verse says, nor was there any error or fault found in him. So this wasn't to imply that Daniel was actually sinless, because there was only one man that was ever sinless, amen? But that he was a man of great integrity. We could also say that Daniel was especially blameless in his conduct and his professional life, which is why the king was set to make him leader over the whole realm, amen? Spurgeon, when he considered Daniel's integrity, expressed these words. He said, as for Lord Fair Speech, and this is like old time talking, okay, so, as for Lord Fair Speech, Lord Time Server, Mr. Smooth Man, Mr. Anything, Mr. Facing Both Ways, Mr. Two Tongues, and all the members of their club, Mr. Buy-ins included, the entire company of them will be swept away when the judge comes with the besom of destruction. So, in other words, what Spurgeon was saying is those who stay true to God while in the world may receive the promise of eternal life when our Lord returns. And those who do not may be swept away. Amen? Verse 5 says, we shall not find any charges against Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the laws of his God. So, these men knew Daniel very well. They knew he could not be trapped into evil. And they also knew that he would be faithful to his God in every circumstance. Every Christian should consider if others could say the same thing about us. Right? We stay faithful in everything we do. And McLaren states it pretty good. He says, the world may not know the details of doctrine or the intimacies of worship with God, but they can tell a bad temper, selfishness, conceitedness, or dishonesty when they see it. The world is a very poor critic of my Christianity, but it is a very sufficient one of my conduct. Amen? So verse 7 says that the royal administrators, prefects, satraps, advisors, and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce a decree that anyone who prays to any god or human during the next 30 days, except you, your majesty, shall be thrown into the lion's den. So it says whoever petitions any god, so if the enemies of Daniel knew him, they also knew Darius. They knew they could appeal to Darius's pride and his desire for a unified kingdom. So probably to flatter the ambition of the king, they pretend to make him a god for 30 days. And so they're kind of tricking him, you know. They say that the whole empire should make prayer and supplication to him to pay King Darius divine honors. So they're trying, that was their bait to get him to sign the law. But the real object was to destroy Daniel, of course, because they could find nothing corrupt in Daniel. So, that's just the world today, you know. People, everything's done in dishonesty, and as Christians, we need to set a good example and be a shining light unto the world. Amen. Verse 9 says, therefore, King Darius signed the written decree. So Spurgeon writes that, suppose the law of the land were proclaimed that no man shall pray during the remainder of this month on pain of being cast into a lion's den. So how many of you would pray? I think there would be a rather a scanty number at the prayer meeting. Not but what the attendance at prayer meetings is scanty enough already, but if there were the penalty of being cast into the den of lions, I'm afraid the prayer meeting would be postponed for a month, owing to pressing business and manifold engagements of one kind or another. We'd be making stuff up just to not go to prayer, right? So, so maybe we do already, but how many of you, if the law changed temporarily or permanently, would keep your faith and continue to worship God? How many Christians in third world countries die every day for their faith? You know? And we got it 10 times better than they do. 2 Timothy 2:12 says, if we endure, we will reign with him, and if we deny him, he will also deny us. Amen? Verse 10 says, now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows were open towards Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God just as he had done before. Then these men went up as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. So, when Daniel discovered that the law had been signed by Darius, he did nothing out of the ordinary. His daily habit for years had been to pray to God towards Jerusalem three times a day, and that's exactly what he did when he learned of the law. In other words, he did not change a thing. He went about his daily schedule of worship as he always did. So what can we learn about Daniel from his actions here? Clearly he was faithful and fearless without regard to the consequences of a lion's den or whatever they wanted to throw at him. That he was consistent in his faith. And so are we consistent in our faith? You know? Are we faithful? Are we faithful every day of the week? Are we fearless about being faithful in the world? You know? Are we worried that people are gonna reject us or deny us because of our faith? Are we consistent in all we do for the kingdom of God? You know? Are we the same on Monday at work as we are on Sunday at church? You know? Verse 12 says, so they went to the king and spoke to him about his royal decree. Did you not publish a decree that during the next 30 days, anyone who prays to any god or man except to you, O king, would be thrown into the lion's den? The king answered, the decree stands in accordance with the laws of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be repealed. Then they said to the king, Daniel, who was one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or to the decree you put in writing. He still prays three times a day. When the king heard this, he was greatly distressed. He was determined to rescue Daniel and made every effort to do it until sundown. Darius's conscience was tormenting him because he knew the danger he had put his friend Daniel in by signing into the law the preposterous 30-day prayer ban. He worked all day trying to find a loophole in the law, and he knew if he couldn't find one, he would have to sentence Daniel, his friend Daniel, to death. And back then, Persian law dictated that sentences for crimes were to be carried out on the same day that the crime was committed. Well, maybe we should do that in our culture today, right? Maybe have a little less crime if we were prosecuted the same day as our crime. So the lower the sun set that night, the louder Darius' conscience became, screaming at him to find a solution that would save the man who he knew could save his kingdom from corruption. But like Darius, our foolish decisions often haunt us. Often all we can do is pray and ask God to miraculously and mercifully intervene when we make foolish decisions. Amen? In verse 16, So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. And the king said to Daniel, "May your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you." Almost like the king knew, right? The king had faith himself, right? Matthew Henry writes about that. His commentary on that is, "There's no new thing for what is done faithfully in conscience towards God to be misrepresented or done obstinately and in contempt of the civil powers. So through want and of due thought, we often do what is that which afterwards, like Darius, we see cause a thousand times to wish undone again, something we wish we didn't do. Daniel, the venerable man, is brought as the vilest of malefactors and is thrown into the den of lions to be devoured only for worshiping his God. Let us commit our lives and our souls unto God. In well-doing, we cannot place full confidence even in men whom we faithfully serve. But believers may in all cases be sure of the divine favor and consolation." So what Matthew Henry is so eloquently saying here is that we need to stay true to our God. No matter what our leaders are doing or what they tell us, we should also remember that no matter who's in charge in this world, Jesus is always going to be the king. Amen? So, and he will reign forever. So even though Daniel was an old man and he refused to take the easy way out and abandon God, the threat of an agonizing death never changed his trust in God. So, we might be enduring our own personal den of lions right now. The key is not to put your focus on your situation or yourself, but rather on your all-powerful protector, God. Amen? So, that's the end of my sermon, but I wanted to speak a little bit while I'm on the stage here. With all these tragedies, all the hurricane and everything going on, people always, say, "Why does God let these things happen?" And the answer to that should be that, God only wishes good and love on his children. He doesn't wish any bad things at all. These bad things happen because we live in a fallen world, and it's a fallen world ever since the time of Adam and Eve and the serpent. Amen? So all God does is God makes good out of all these bad things that happen, Like in those tragedies, who would have thought that J.J. Watt was going to raise $10 million for, And who would have thought all these people were going to go down there in their four-wheel drives and their boats and save all these people, and the guy in a jet ski saving a little baby, All these things, the faith that was built and the love that was given over all these tragedies, that's what God does, And we just got to remember that God doesn't make these bad things happen. God loves us, and we need to do the same. Amen? God bless you guys. Thank you.